This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, and you are here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming show where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, and this week I am joined by Edith.
Hi.
How we doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Today on the show, we want to talk about crunch culture, which is a very specific thing in the gaming industry. We want to talk through what it is, why it exists, why it's so terrible, and kind of bring up a few examples of it. Edith, do you want to talk us through what crunch culture is?
Yeah, so crunch time is when a development team has only a limited time to create something that they need to meet a deadline. And so its employees are forced to work more hours than is safe for them. They need to work harder. They need to miss public holidays, miss time with their families, basically destroy their health, both physical and mental, just to get something done on time.
Yeah, it's a real last minute, like, yeah, rush to get something done. But unfortunately, that last minute often means weeks and weeks,
yeah,
and possibly
weeks, months
of this,
well,
exposure to crunch time.
Yeah, the most interesting thing is, and why we're talking about it, is that it's easy to think of crunch time as just a last minute thing, of just something that all development needs to go through, because we've all been in that situation where we should have started on something ages ago and suddenly it's the last week we can do it and we're thinking, oh, you know, and we got to rush to get it done. We've all been in that situation, but this actually is quite different. This is something that often goes into months and even a whole year that employees of a game company are expected by the higher-ups to decrease their quality of life just for the sake of this game.
Yeah, and it happens a lot. Like,
it happens to so many studios.
So widespread throughout the industry that it's become an entire culture, right? Like, you almost expect it to some extent to happen in every single development studio because, you know, there are deadlines you have to hit and it's game development. It's a tricky thing.
Yeah.
You're going to approach those deadlines and all of a sudden something's going to go wrong, or you're going to need to implement something new, or there's new ideas that need to be chucked into your game, or just it's not quite ready yet.
Yeah.
And then what happens in those situations? You either announce a delay and say, no, we're going to take our time and do this, or it's this whole crunch culture thing and this crunch time where you really are sacrificing your entire life to ensure this video game is coming out at a reasonable time.
Yep.
It's a really weird thing. The reason it's kind of popped up and we want to talk about it is because the developer of Night in the Woods, which is an adventure game that released
a very interesting title, yeah, that released on PC. It's also on
really
Switch.
Cute game, actually. It's something I played and enjoyed quite a bit.
I did as well. It was a really, really great and new experience. Full of emotion and atmosphere. And the reason why it's interesting this time is that this was not a game that had a publisher breathing down their necks at every corner like what we're used to. This was a game that was crowdfunded by Kickstarter.
Yeah, so these guys don't have a publisher who's like threatening them saying, no, this needs to be done at this time. Actually, this whole crunch culture that affected this company was kind of self-inflicted. They saw deadlines and they had pressure from their fans and they were like, well, we don't want to disappoint anybody.
Yeah.
Therefore, crunch time. And they kind of, they've spoken about it quite openly, which is always super nice. And they basically said, we did something really bad here. I'm going to start quoting them a bit because it is super interesting and really captivating to hear. The reason we're killing ourselves isn't because we love what we're doing. That's the thing we tell ourselves and tell people. We're just so passionate about it. But I'm passionate about a lot of things and I don't kill myself over them. The reason we're killing ourselves is money and deadlines. It's these material constraints. It's a cultural thing. It's a cultural thing we have to fight against. One of the reasons I talk about the experience is because I want to say that it was not heroic. That was not cool. That was bad. And it came out of some material conditions, but also because I was not valuing myself enough to stop.
Yeah, so it seems like such a terrible thing, crunch time, and it is, but since it's invaded the development culture, it's really easy for studios to just fall back into it because it does get results. Its cost is far too high, but it does get results.
And I really love when he said it was not heroic.
No,
because,
yeah.
Because like, that's kind of... You think of it as a sacrifice, right? It's like, yeah. I'm sacrificing part of my life to make sure that this thing, this creation, is ready for the masses. But it's not heroic because what you're doing is you're damaging potentially the product. You're definitely damaging yourself and the staff that are working on it. And who knows, like, what your mental health is when you move into the next time you do this. It's not sustainable. He literally came out saying this is going to kill people. And in fact, there are examples of the past where people have died.
Yeah, that's
due
right.
To
like
exposing themselves
work
to these
related
conditions.
Stress. Yeah, missing their families, not being able to go home at rest is puts such a pressure on mental health.
And he mentioned specifically when he came out and made these statements, and he said some other things too. But he said the reason that it was so much pressure on him and the reason that this crunch time kind of existed is because of what happened with Night in the Woods. They released this on Kickstarter. They didn't quite know what to expect.
Yep.
It got a lot of traction. In fact, it got four times the amount of funding as they asked for it. And all of a sudden, these pressures are coming onto the studio and they're like, well, we have to make something big. We have to make something great. There are so many people following this. They want to know when they're getting their game because they've paid for it.
Yeah. On Kickstarter, the fans tend to be... They can be quite ruthless when it comes to unexpected things, delays. They're nervous that they're not going to get what they spent their money on. So when a delay is announced, the developers of Night in the Woods might have felt as if that wasn't an option because the backlash of a delay might have caused people to take their money back, ask for a refund, lose interest in the game. And for something that they've already sunk so much money into, that they might have felt like that wasn't an option for them.
Yep. And he specifically mentioned delaying the game was seen as a mortal sin to their audience, that this is such a bad thing to happen because they already delayed their game. This was set to release in, I believe, early 2016, but when it actually released, it was 2017.
Yeah.
Or it might be even further. It might have been released in 2015, but actually released in 2017. Like, there was a good chunk where this game was delayed, and I think part of that was just the sheer pressure of all of this extra funding coming, and it's like, well, suddenly we have a bigger project than we anticipated. So it's super cool to hear what he says. I'm going to quote him one final time. I think new models of this have to be made because people are going to die. People die from overwork. Marriages get ruined. People never see their children. That's all bad, but we consider it good. Like, yeah, you sacrificed. Why fucking why?
Yeah, it's... From the other side of the looking glass, to use a really old expression, it's so easy to ignore the effect on the developers it can have, specifically because of that, but it was, you sacrificed stuff, yeah, but it was for a good cause. It was for this video game that I spent $20 on. And I think that's part of the reason why it's so great that he went out of his way to say it was not heroic. Yep. Like you said before, like very, very important to say that because why it remains in the culture is because of that lingering belief that it is heroic.
Exactly. Like, this is not just one dude sacrificing his own life. He is encouraging a culture that could ruin other people's lives, because that's the problem, right? It's so ingrained into the culture. Everyone knows about this kind of crunch time, and every developer expects to be put through it, but they shouldn't. This should be a problem. This should be the kind of thing that people stand up against and say, no, this is exploitation. This is abuse. This is unacceptable. Look at the damage you're doing.
Yeah.
And yet we don't really have that kind of body of people who are really making that stand and making that difference. Instead, what we have is kind of the big bad guy breathing down the necks of their employees saying, this needs to get done, whether you die doing it or not.
Yeah. So I'm wondering now what changes exactly need to be made. Like, there certainly needs to be a shift in perspective from both fans and publishers, I think. I'm not integrated into the industry to understand really how that can happen, though.
It's a big step, isn't it? Because you're moving away from, like, first of all, fan disappointment. How do you control that? How can you possibly control that? But going further than that, the video games industry is an industry, and industries are generated through money.
Yeah.
Like, this has to happen. And as soon as you say, no, my game's not ready, it's like, but it was supposed to be. We have shareholders, we have stock prices, we have expectations, we have a marketing team who are ready to market this game. How is this not ready? This is a huge issue. And so that's kind of why crunch culture exists. But all of those things are a force to put pressure onto people to do crunch culture. And what we need is a counterforce to push back against it and say, no, this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't really have currently.
Yeah, it always... Like, I feel like it's a job for a union, isn't it? To say, no, this is inhumane working conditions, you know.
It almost feels like it needs to be something that's legalized.
Yeah.
Like, this is illegal.
These kinds of working conditions are not acceptable. Yeah, well.
And it kind of feels like, in some ways it is. Because, like, let's be honest, crunch culture, part of the problem is also that these people go unpaid a lot of the time.
Yeah,
right?
A lot of the time it's unpaid overtime.
Mm. So they're already
not even getting compensated for it.
They're already battling legal issues, but often people get away with it. Obviously, like, businesses get away with a lot of financial, you know, gray areas,
and a lot
unfortunately.
And a lot of the time it's because employees are afraid to speak up against it. There's a lot of news about what goes on in these crunch periods, and they're almost always from people who prefer to remain anonymous because they're so afraid of losing their positions for speaking out about it.
Yeah, and I think that's part of that's it, right? It's accepted. It's expected. You're a game developer. This is something you're going to go through.
Yeah.
And that sucks that there's that expectation there.
Yeah.
But we also have to draw the line, right? Like, everybody has deadlines. Everybody, even to small extents, has crunch time. I know when I studied in university, sometimes my assignments weren't ready on the due date, so I crunched.
Yeah,
and I'm not sitting there going, this is unacceptable, because I know I put myself in that position.
Yeah.
So there needs to be a balance. Obviously, some working conditions are going to get stressful and frantic. But it's just gone so far that it is just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's it. I look forward to the day when we talk about crunch time, we really are referring to that just last couple of weeks where you just have to fix all those bugs that were unexpected or that you should have fixed ages ago, because that stuff definitely does happen to everybody.
Yep.
When we use the phrase crunch time to describe that, then I believe the industry will be in a good place. Until then, crunch time is just awful.
It kind of feels like we're looking at a distant future, though. It almost feels like it's so ingrained into the culture that it's not going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, well, legislation can come at any time.
Whether it's obeyed or not, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I ask,
yeah,
how widespread do you think this is? We're hearing about one developer talking about their experience. Is this something that's happening in every studio?
I would say every studio, probably not, but I would say that it is incredibly widespread. Like,
obviously,
in Japanese
degrees.
Studios, I believe it will be the vast majority of studios, because Japan is a country that already has this problem, even in, like, non-development industries. Like, they have this really strict working culture.
Yep.
In Western studios, I think it'll be a little bit less rampant, but still pretty rampant.
Mm-hmm.
There's a subreddit called Crunch Time.
There you go. And if there's a subreddit,
it's
a
topic
it's a
on
thing.
The game dev subreddit. Yeah.
Yeah.
incredibly common, I believe.
Yeah. And I dare say I completely agree with you. I have a friend who works in a Melbourne-based studio, and he was telling me recently about working 12-hour days, not getting paid overtime, and just crunching. Like, you had to be there, your job was on the line if you weren't, and that's the kind of culture that is just so disappointing and so threatening.
Well, the thing is that this is such a popular industry to try and get into.
Yep.
If you don't want to show up to your job, there will be 10 other people who will be willing to take your place and work those overtime unpaid hours, because they just want to be in the industry so badly.
It is ludicrous, isn't it? And
yeah.
I think what we need... as gamers, is we need games to be developed because of passion.
Yeah.
Crunch time, those games are being developed because of business and financial pressure, right?
Yeah.
And that's the wrong mind frame to be in when you're developing something, because it's no longer about the passion. It's no longer about the love of something. It's about, you know, all these really harmful, like, third-party or first-party pressures being thrown onto you.
Yeah.
So, crunch time, not a great thing.
Not good at all.
Definitely a thing we need to discuss and talk about. Yeah, and I'm so glad this guy from the Night in the Woods development team talked about it. Because you can't ignore it. You can't pretend like it's not a problem.
The more common these discussions become, the more likely it is that something will be done to change it, especially when you're using voices from the industry ourselves.
Exactly.
Itself. Like, gamers can talk about it, but since we're not in that situation to really know quite exactly what's going on, we're in much we're on more shaky ground. We can't really take a stand.
Yeah, it's hard. But obviously, like, as soon as the public views it as such a problem, maybe that pressure then throws it back.
Increasing the pressure, I think, is the first step.
Yep, so we have been talking all about crunch culture and crunch time, which is not a fantastic subject to talk about, but an important one. Edith, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks so much, you're welcome.
My name has been Elliot, and you have been listening to Checkpoint Intimates.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.